Hey there, and welcome to the Consultants Council podcast, a place for consulting industry guidance and best practice advisory. Whether you're working to grow in your consulting career, you're managing and developing a consulting firm, you're working with consultants, or you're just interested in business and high-performance advice, we've got recommendations and education for you. I'm Kelsey Kreveling, founder and CEO of Kelsey Consulting, a firm focused on building high-performing organizations, teams, and leaders through a variety of ventures, including the Consultants Council. I've spent my career at the intersection of technology and management consulting, working with organizations across the country to help solve their toughest challenges, while also supporting the growth and development of multiple consulting firms, helping them improve their long-term performance trajectory. In addition, I'm an entrepreneur across a few different industries, and I serve as a startup investor and advisor, promoting the ideas of other entrepreneurs as they work to gain traction in their industries. With so many people gearing up to launch their own businesses and establish their own consulting practices, I want to make available the advice and lessons others and I have learned along the way. This podcast is made possible by Kelsey Consulting, with media support by K-Studios. For more information, check out our site at theconsultantscouncil.com and kelsc.consulting. That's kelsey.consulting. Today's episode is sponsored by 111 Joule Design Studio, energizing spaces, products, and experiences. Based out of Texas, 111 specializes in designing, staging, and organizing residential, retail, and commercial interiors, furnishings, and events to support commerce and real estate transactions. To explore how 111 can energize your project, head to 111joule.com. And now, stay tuned for this episode's counseling, because the consulting world is full of nuances, and the answer is always, it depends. What's possible? Do more.
Hey there. And welcome to the Consultants Council podcast. I'm Kelsey Kreveling, and today's episode is going to be a bit silly. It's rooted in something that many of us probably love, and that is our dogs. I was taking River, my black Labrador, out for a walk recently. Somebody commented on how beautiful and shiny his fur was and how great he looked. And they said, oh gosh, he must have a really good diet. And so we start talking about what he's eating and what he's doing. And they make the comment of, oh my goodness, in my next life, I want to come back as your dog, as a well taken care of black Labrador. Anyways, it just really got me thinking about why is it that we kind of aspire to get to live a life of that of potentially a Labrador, and what are some of those reasons why that seems so appealing? So I'm going to dig into that in today's episode. We're going to do just life lessons from a Labrador, because every single day in my interactions with River, I'm learning something. He's teaching me something. And it's always good to kind of reflect on those lessons and in how we can apply them to our day-to-day life. All right, so for those of you that don't know, River is actually not only a very handsome black Labrador, he is 8.5 years old about right now, and not quite 8.5. Anyways, but he is also a task trained service dog. But he's been with me since he was 10 weeks old, and so we've been bonded since the very, very beginning. And he is a very special Labrador. He is very intuitive and energetically sensitive. And so his service dog training that he did a little bit later in life based on my well-being and needs for it was actually really easy for him, because so much of it he was already attuned to being able to support, which is pretty cool. But anyways, I think one of the reasons why I love and adore Labradors specifically, but dogs in general, all have just, they're wonderful creatures. They're meant to take care of us and to our best friends, is because they live in the present. They are always happy with what it is that you are pretty much doing. They're glad to go around with you. They're glad to go along with what you ask of them. It is rare that they're going to really complain. They're always happy to see you. As long as you're a good person, right? You're treating them well, they're going to be happy to see you. And they're really relatively content with what you make available for them. And so I think, first of all, just that lesson of presence and choosing to be happy all the time goes a long way towards just adjusting our viewpoint and choosing to shed and shake off everything that maybe just occurred and be right here and be focused and be grateful and be joyful. That's always just an ongoing lesson that I take from River. Another great life lesson from this Labrador of mine, which, by the way, he is right there. You can see him hanging out, being his good boy self, always with me. Another great lesson that they have to give. So often when I'm making River food, he'll be ready for it. He'll want it. He'll be begging for it. I'm like, come on, Mom, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. And this is one that's really a lesson for me that I hear it as I say it. And I'm like, I know. And that is, River, it's not ready yet. Like, it's coming. I'm working on your food for you. I'm going to make it happen for you. I know. I have not forgotten about you. I love you. I'm taking care of you. I'm doing my best for you with this food. I mean, we source really high quality, all raw, organic, healthy dog food, and I add tons of different supplements and add additions to it with real raw food and yogurt and eggs and sardines and all sorts of parsley and extra hip supplements and joint supplements and CBD and all things to just keep him healthy and functioning really well. Anyways, but that takes time to put together and make sure it's thawed and make sure it's ready for him. And as I'm saying that to him of, hey, bud, I love you. Your food is getting ready. It's not ready yet, but I'm working on it. The lesson in there for me is that the universe is doing the same thing on our behalf. Gosh, we're ready for it. We want what we want now. We're excited for it. We're looking forward to it. We know it's going to be good and we can't wait, but it's not yet ready. The universe, God, whatever you choose to believe in, is queuing things up for you. They're getting ready. They're just not ready yet. But do you want it before it's really ready? Before it's thawed? Before it has all the extras in it? Before it has the things that are going to make it even better for you? More nutritious, more fulfilling, more enjoyable? No, we really don't. And so that is always a good reminder for me of, hold your horses, be patient, trust that it's going to be good, trust that you have not been forgotten, trust that you're not going to go hungry, trust that good things are coming and that the universe is working in your favor. It's just taking a little bit longer than you would prefer for it all to work its way out. All right, another life lesson from a Labrador is always be well-dressed for the job. Show up looking great. Now, that is easier to do as a Labrador who has a beautiful coat and is well-dressed for everything that he does. But it's a good reminder to make sure we're well-groomed, make sure we're put together, make sure we feel like our best version of ourselves, show up in a way that we want to so that people, like the random neighbors that commented on how great he looked, are going to engage more with you. They're going to see it. It's going to show up. I think that that's just a nice tip that Labradors can offer us is put your best foot forward, be well-dressed for the occasion, and be ready to go. On the heels of that, though, something I definitely love and respect about Labradors is their ability to be much more utilitarian and to be working dogs. So they always look great. I mean, gosh, they look better when they're soaking wet and covered in mud sometimes. And they just look so handsome or beautiful, regal, depending upon the dog. Anyways, but it's the ability to jump in the mud, to get messy, to go for it, to have fun, to not let your outfit, the things that you're doing, the things that you're supposed to do, keep you from the things that also can provide joy, to be ready to be kind of get ready and roll up your sleeves and get to work. Their willingness to just go head first into what they perceive is fun, that's something we all could learn a lot from. So much of the time we think, you know, you go to the pool and you're like, oh, I don't want to get wet. I don't want to be a mess. Oh, I just did my hair. Oh, I've got makeup on. I've got to do something later. And what do we miss out on? What do we miss out on by not willing to just go for it? Maybe a lot. So I love their rugged, utilitarian ability to just traverse across all different types of terrain, to be happy as they do it, and to still look good. Gosh, what a natural gift they have. All right, more lessons from Labradors. For the record, River is who lives with me, but I grew up with a black Labrador, and I also procured two other female black Labradors who are twin sisters who now live with my mom. I've known a number of black Labradors in my life, and like, they're awesome dogs. Anyways, but another one is gratitude. My gosh, they're grateful. They're grateful for the time they get to spend with you. They're grateful for the food that you give them. They're grateful for the play. They're grateful for the opportunity to work. They want to work too, by the way. They love having a job. They love having a job. River loves it when I pull out his vest and he knows that he's going to work for the day. He is excited to get to go to work and to get to go be a good boy. And he knows the difference. It's amazing how much he switches from being a dog to a working focused dog based on whether he's dressed for work or not. Anyways, dogs love having a purpose. So do we. We love it when we get to do what we're supposed to do. We love it when we get to go interact in the way that we're meant to interact, to engage with people in the way that we're built and bred to engage with people. We're meant to connect with others. So when we pursue that, truly, it can really light us up. It can really be rewarding and engaging. So don't see work as something to be feared or avoided. Instead, take a look at what a gift it is to get to go do a good job, to get to go engage with others, to get to go share your gifts with the people around you. What a privilege. Labradors greet the day with complete joy. I wake up every morning with River gently thumping his tail on the bed, trying to start getting my attention. He's curled up usually around my head in the pillows because I suffer from pretty bad nightmares. And he's curled up around me and kind of taking care of me, but he's kind of like, okay, Mom, come on, let's go, let's go. And it's always a daybreak. He wakes up with the sun. There's a lesson in there too, I'm sure. Wake up with the sunshine. Be happy to greet the day. But he's ready to get going. He doesn't procrastinate. He doesn't try to sleep in later and longer. Now, he does love snuggling in the pillows. Like, there's no doubt there. He loves comfort. He is a dog of comfort in addition to working hard. But he greets the day. He's excited to get up and to see what the day is going to hold for him, even though he has no idea. Because, I mean, he's not in control of what his day looks like. He's completely, you know, subservient to what do I need to do for the day. And he's hoping and trusting it's going to be good and fun and engaging. But regardless, he's happy. What if we all decided to greet the day like that? How would that change how you go about prepping the night before for your day? No more dread, just excitement, just joy. All right, whatever this day is going to hold, it's going to be for me. And I'm going to make it good, and I'm going to enjoy it, and I'm going to be present. That'd be pretty cool. That'd probably change things in this world for the better. Labradors always greet people with love. They are excited to meet other people. They are excited to say hi. They are excited to answer the door and see who's there. It's really adorable. This is not something that River was specifically trained to do, but he just took it upon himself to do. And that is, I live in a high-rise building, and the concierges will oftentimes call me and tell me, hey, something's here for you. And they'll ask, you know, if they can send it up. And he'll hear me on the phone, and I'll say, yep, send it up. And he immediately gets up from wherever he is and goes and sits in front of the door, staring at the door, waiting for what's coming. Because he's heard the cue, set him up. And he knows that something new is going to be there, and he is ready to go greet it. Whoever it is, whatever it is, he wants to be first in line, patiently waiting for what's to come. How can we get excited with anticipation? He's not being manic. He's not jumping. He doesn't jump on people. He greets them pleasantly. But he's excited. He's willing to stop whatever it is that he was doing, which is likely sleeping or snuggling or whatever, and get up and go sit at the door on the hard floor and wait. Because he's ready for what's to come. That's pretty cool. How can we be ready for what's to come? How can we greet it with excitement and anticipation and joy? They're pretty neat. Okay, I'd love to say that Labradors don't complain. It's probably not true. I've lived with enough of them. They definitely let you know when they're not happy about something. Whether you've put them in a crate and they want to be with you, or you've put them outside and they now want to be inside, or they're inside and they want to be outside. Usually their complaints, though, involve not getting the food that they want when they want it and not being with you or with another dog when they want it. Outside of that, haven't really experienced too many complaints. They're really quite content. Content to work hard, content to do what's asked, content to just be with you. What would it look like if we decided to be a bit more content, to be excited with what we have, to be eager and looking forward to food, sure, and eager and looking forward to being with others, yes, connection's important. But other than that, if we dropped all the complaints, we dropped all the what-ifs, and just were happy, how would that change our perspective? How would that adjust our lives? I think we'd probably be a lot easier to be around, a lot more fun, a lot more joyful. Okay, here's one from River specifically, because he, as I mentioned, he loves comfort. Okay, he's willing to like tough it out, and you know, if he's hot, he'll want to be on like a hard, cold floor. But in general, he seeks out comfort. He loves the bed. He adores pillows. If I've got clothes or a blanket on the bed, he will pull it together to make a nest for himself. He loves comfort. And he can always tell in any situation he's in what's going to be the most comfortable thing to sleep on, lay on, etc. And so he sources it for himself. To the point where now I have silk pillowcases, and he has decided that that's where he also needs to sleep at night, with his head on a silk pillowcase. I know that they say it's great for your hair. Anyways, be willing to work hard, but also look for the good. Look for the good things, the quality. seek out those things that make life a little bit easier, a little bit more comfortable when it's time to rest. Be willing to work hard, certainly, but also be willing to take care of yourself, to expect good things, to look out for that which helps you recover better. I like that aspect. Work hard, rest well. It's a new version of work hard, play hard. I think it's a little bit better. All right, now people often ask, does he shed? Oh, does he? Yes. Constantly, all the time, everywhere. I wear a lot of black as a result of it, just to keep from having it be seen. And I certainly source upholstery, furnishings, etc., in order to see what will be the least dog fur visible options. But something that I did that really changed my perspective on the shedding, aside from implementing very frequent baths and brushings, is I look at his shedding like it's angel dust. He is spreading his good energy everywhere he goes. That makes it a lot easier to deal with when I acknowledge that one day it won't be there. And I'll miss it so terribly. Can't handle that. So, yes, he sheds. But if you just think about it as he's leaving goodness everywhere he goes, it's a lot easier to contend with. But that reminds me, how can we leave a bit of goodness everywhere we go? How can we make sure that every room we walk into, we light up with joy, with delight, with kindness? It's really neat. I mean, I can physically see how he'll walk into spaces, because he gets to go where other dogs generally do not, that can be very tense, where people are not very happy, stressed. And the entire energy of the room shifts. It completely dissipates the strife in a space just by having him in it. And people gravitate towards him. It's pretty cool. Regularly, people will just come up and be like, I know it says he do not pet, but may I say hi? I need to say hi. And I mean, he has a command that lets him engage with other people when he's working. And as long as people are respectful and ask kindly, then yes, he loves that. I love that. And I know that other people need it. But he also only lights up rooms that he walks into. He knows when people need his unique gifts. And there will be times where we'll be walking and he'll just gravitate towards someone. There'll be somebody, you know, in a store or at an event, and he will make it known to me that he needs to go talk to a person. And inevitably, every single time that we do, that person has just suffered some type of loss, some type of tragedy, some type of major difficulty. And they'll end up being on the ground with him, just hugging him and loving on him, oftentimes tears rolling down their face, saying, I just needed this today. And it's the most beautiful gift that he's able to know that people need and to give. And like, I am not naturally the person that's just going to randomly go up to strangers. And I might sense that they have something going on with them, but I'm not going to necessarily pry or engage. Whereas he, as a dog, has no problem with it. And that's such a blessing and such a gift that he's able to do that. And what a lesson for all of us. We all have the ability to tap in and sense when someone needs something. When someone needs a kindness, a listening ear, openness to just hear them out. Could you become a bit more receptive to that? Could you go and greet people and not just ignore them? I mean, that's become so prevalent lately. People just interact as if the people around them do not exist. My gosh, make eye contact. Acknowledge the other humans around you. See them. His ability to do that is really amazing. Whereas I feel like as humans, we oftentimes are conditioned not to get involved, not to engage. But what would happen if we did? Pretty beautiful when we do. Now, one of the things that I just love the most about Labradors and the lesson that I think that they really can instill in us is their loyalty. Above all, they are loyal. And it's a beautiful gift that they offer and render to those that they love, but you can count on them. He's stretching back there for anyone who is interested. But they are. I mean, they offer such profound friendship. My River is my best friend, my companion, my protector. You know, he's the reason I don't have to spend my life lonely. Amazing. Their loyalty is a gift. And it is something that in a world of transient people, difficulty, I guess, maybe you could say, it's something that we don't see often. People are very quick to cut ties and move on. And I completely understand that when necessary and when protecting one's own boundaries and preserving one's own mental health, that can be necessary. But we don't see a lot of loyalty anymore. People are very quick to just kind of move on, keep going. Could we, when it makes sense, all learn a bit from a Labrador and see when maybe that trait of loyalty makes sense to incorporate into our life? Potentially. It's a good one. It's one that I love from him. All right. Another trait that I love about this Labrador specifically is that while he is kind and loving and excited to greet those around him, he does not suffer bullies. He actually, it's very interesting. There's dogs that love him, that want to talk to him, people love him, etc. But then occasionally there'll be really mean dogs that unprovoked out in the wild will just go after him. He won't be doing anything, we'll be on a walk, whatever. And they will just come charging, yapping, snapping, being mean. All because River's just being a very well-mannered good boy. There is a big lesson in that. It doesn't matter how kind, how smart, how nice, how considerate, how in your own lane you are, there will still be people out there who want to snap at you, bark at you, be mean to you, just because they've just decided they don't like you. You didn't do anything wrong. You were just walking your own way. Don't suffer bullies. give them no attention. I mean, it's really fascinating to watch because he'll hear. I mean, obviously he has amazing hearing. He will certainly hear dogs that are just kind of around him. He will pay them no mind. He will keep walking beautifully, I might add. He'll even like pick up his pace and kind of like really put on airs. It's hysterical to watch because he knows that they mean nothing. Their opinions do not matter and do not affect him. So I think that's a really good lesson that we all could take something from. Do not pay any mind or heed to those that choose to just kind of try and chip away at you from the sidelines when you're minding your own business and walking your own way. Now, when those sideliners choose to intervene in your path, River does not, as I said, suffer bullies. He will certainly stand up for himself. It's really interesting. Like I said, he will not engage. He will not even acknowledge other dogs until they become an actual direct threat. But when they do, he's terrifying. He will not bark first. He will not be aggressive first. But if he senses that there is an actual, true, and real risk, wow, he will win. I would not want to be on the other side of him and cross him. His bark is ferocious when provoked. He is strong. He is fit and fast. And his teeth are sharp. I know that from experience. He was choking one time. He'd gotten a ball. It was too small. He found it on a walk and I had to fish it out of his throat while he was like choking and not trying to hurt me, but just, yeah. I can't even imagine what it would be like to be on the other side of him and he wanting to cause harm. There's a lesson there too. It's very Machiavellian. Walk softly, but carry a big stick. Do not engage first, but if you are threatened and there is a true and real risk to your safety, to your well-being, to your life and livelihood, do not suffer bullies. Do not suffer attacks. Stand up for what you believe in. Stand up for yourself, your well-being, your safety, your livelihood. Do not engage unless you have to. But if you have to, use all tools at your disposal. Protect yourself. Keep yourself safe so that you can live to see and love another day. And the final lesson from this Labrador is that when life riles you up, when something is upsetting, and someone jumps in your path and chooses to be mean and be a bully and be unkind to you, shake it off really fast. It's amazing how quickly he can go from being like, someone was really gross, like just mean and aggressive and barking at him, and snapping at him. And if he needs to, he will bark back and assert his boundaries. And then we'll keep going our way, keep walking, clear the situation. And within 15 seconds, he's shaking that off. I mean, he'll even sometimes do a full body shake off that energy. And then he's back to being happy. Pass right through him. He doesn't hold on to it. How much do we hold on to? And how does that then continue to affect us? It lingers. It ruminates. And it lasts. Shake it off. Let it go. Move forward. I think that's a great lesson we can all learn from a Labrador. The ultimate lesson from Labradors is not just to have high energy, but it's to love. That's what they are. They are pure positive energy and love. And that is a gift. So how can we, as humans, take lessons from Labradors and infuse love into how we liaise, I guess, we're going to go for alliteration, with those around us? It would change our communities. It would certainly change us individually. When we go from being closed off and reticent and stiff and uncomfortable to being present and joyful, grateful, and loving, life gets a lot better. So, I said this may be kind of cheesy. We're taking lessons from dogs, which, I mean, come on, they're the best. And if you disagree, well then, you know, go get your life lessons elsewhere, please. But for those of you like lessons from canines, and there's so many. I mean, like, I could go on and on right now, you know. Joy of food, joy of life. It's just, they're awesome. But I think it's pretty neat to see he's moving around. He knows we're almost done. He's ready for a walk. It's pretty neat to see how we can learn from so much around us, how our animals have so much to teach us, and that the ultimate lesson really is love. So that concludes life lessons from a Labrador, from or as provided by me. Thanks for tuning in to this unique episode of the Consultants Council, the inspiration you didn't know you needed. Take care. Bye, y'all.
And that's a wrap on this episode of the Consultants Council. Thank you so much for your interest and engagement. Let us know what you'd like to learn more about by writing in to info@theconsultantscouncil.com. Thanks to Kelsey Consulting for facilitating this podcast and to Case Studios for the media support. And thanks to 111 Jewel Design Studio for sponsoring this episode. To start your design project, head to 111jewel.com. And with that, cheers and all my best. Have a great week. And remember, what's possible? Do more.